Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion nor delusion. That'll determine what the future will bring, and I have to remind you the views expressed here are not those of the owners, management, or sponsors of this station. They're my views and the views of our guest, and you want to give us a call, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But hold your calls. With us is Arthur Berkelaw. Is that pretty close to
Berkelaw,
it?
Arthur? Right.
Okay.
Arthur Berkelaw.
All right, fine. Well, you just go ahead and explain a little bit about what you're doing, because as you can see, my voice is giving out. So
okay. This
is going to be a fascinating hour. You won't want to miss what Arthur's talking about.
I'll be glad to carry the ball. No problem. My name is Arthur Berkelaw, and I'm Executive Director of Veterans for Constitutional Law, Limited, in New York, and we're a veterans advocacy agency. And what we do primarily is we're trying to achieve legal parity for America's veterans. Now, when I say legal parity, it means a legal right to be heard in a court of law and a legal right to have their claims heard in a court of law and not a VA kangaroo law. The VA is the Veterans Administration, and they are known for their chicanery. And they are known for paying bonuses to their board members, their lawyers, their managers, to deny legitimate claims. And this is something that has been going on for the last 70 years, since the Economic Emergency Act of 1933. And those of you who are familiar with the workings and the hidden agendas of the Department of Veterans Affairs, better known as the VA, and are totally fed up with the thieving antics of this outlaw agency, and they are an outlaw agency, and their cohorts, cheating, robbing disabled veterans, as well as the American taxpayers for decade after decade. It's past due time that we as veterans and as the abused and enraged taxpaying public put an end to this abomination of the VA, and at the same time, stop all of these freebies that are given to their buddies, the congressionally chartered National Veteran Service Organizations. And the only solution to all of this VA thievery is to shut down the VA once and for all and stop throwing money into an archaic, inept, crumbling hospital system. What they should do is give service-connected injured veterans vouchers for the private sector, put an end to the corruption, stealing, and thievery being practiced by these VA rating boards, thus saving overburdened taxpayers billions upon billions of dollars. And by giving them vouchers to the private sector, rather than throwing the money into this crumbling hospital system, it will save taxpayers billions and billions of dollars. The best-kept secrets... The best-kept secrets in this country for generations have been VA and government employee and executive incentive programs that have been denying and robbing disabled veterans out of benefits in order to pay themselves cash bonuses for the dirty work that's done by them. Now, one such program is the Senior Executive Service Act under United States Code Title V, Section 3131.
Arthur, you're going to have to hold there as we bring another station on board, so just hold that thought.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this afternoon our special guest is Arthur Berkelaw, and he's with a veterans group that is really trying to do something for the veterans, not simply a government shill operation or one that has another agenda. And one of the big problems we have with the VA is its major function is to try to withhold benefits from our veterans. And Arthur was saying how they actually have the special bonuses if you deny rights to veterans. Now, we know that for many years, over 200,000 people with Gulf War illness were all denied any right to any compensation. It doesn't exist. It's all in their heads. And now, of course, they finally admitted that they do have a problem, and they get 10% disability, which is, what, $90 a month, something like that.
That's about it.
Right. So why don't you pick up the story from there?
Yeah, the entire VA disability compensation system is a fraud. It's an absolute fraud. And we were talking about the cash bonuses and programs that they have, incentive programs. And we have one program called the Senior Executive Service Act under United States Code Title 5, Section 3131. And it provides substantial cash awards, even as much as $50,000 a year, to federal and VA managers to deny claims and save the government money. Now, this has been going on for decade after decade, but in recent years it's reached its zenith, and the competition involved between these greedy executives and also the Veterans Administration Rating Board members can very well be likened to a feeding frenzy by a hungry pack of sharks. All you got to do is go into a VA regional office about 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're all gathered around the water cooler figuring out who's going to screw who out of what. And it's incredible, these VA hearings. A veteran doesn't stand a chance. Now, all of this is at the expense of America's war-injured disabled veterans and our nation's taxpayers. And several years ago, two Veterans Administration lawyers from the Board of Veterans Appeals were sent to prison for altering and destroying disabled veterans' claim files in order to deny claims and collect their bonuses. And this was only the tip of the iceberg. In fact, one of them, Mr. Gottfried, who was a 25-year employee of the VA, Mr. Gottfried, they found over 90 VA claim files in his garbage can, in his kitchen garbage can in his home in Maryland. Now, the other best-kept secret...
I'm going to have to interrupt you there again,
sure,
because we're going to bring our last station on, and then we'll be back here, and of course, we'll go right on from there. So, we'll
okay, should I repeat any of this?
No, go right ahead.
Okay,
so,
I'll...
Wait, just hold a minute.
I'll hold on for you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, our guest is Arthur Burnclaw, and we're talking about how they actually reward people who work for the Veterans Administration for turning down disability claims. And this is the same thing that a lot of major disability private companies will do. This is how you make the system work. But what about the rights of the veteran? Well, he really doesn't have any because he can't get his case into a court of law. So pick the story up there from Arthur.
Okay. The other best-kept secret on this whole thing has been the misconception of the National Veterans Service Organizations being as American as apple pie. The betrayal by the so-called watchdogs of the VA is even worse than the VA's, as veteran betrays veteran for a bevy of VA freebies. Now, when I'm talking about VA freebies, United States Code Title 38, Section 5902A, there are 46 of these congressionally chartered groups that are called the NVSOs, the National Veterans Service Organizations, who each year rip off the taxpayers of this nation for millions of dollars per organization. Congress has even written the law for this scam just previously mentioned, the 5902A, and this statute calls only for free rent in VA buildings for the service organizations, strictly at the discretion of the VA secretary. However, a very liberal interpretation of this law gives them every other freebie that you can think of under the sun, like free heating and electricity and air conditioning, free postage, free telephone, free stationery, free furniture, free computer equipment, a staff to run their rent-free office, and, oh yes, they even have a tax-exempt status, even though their assets may equal some of our nation's more successful corporations. All this at taxpayer expense.
I know you're suggesting that they maybe they alter their loyalties because they're getting paid by the government.
Of course. Of course. Wait till you hear the law they have that closes out this whole thing. Alter it is not, that's a pretty close word. Now, all this, again, comes at taxpayers' expense without even any congressional oversight whatsoever. Now, what do these self-serving friends of the VA have to do to earn this freebie loot from the VA, aside from wrapping themselves in the American flag and playing their charades with their fellow veterans and the public? And the answer to that question, Dr. Spann, is to give the unsuspecting, duped, disabled veteran, whom they're supposed to represent and serve, less than adequate representation in any benefits claim against the VA. Now, Congress has already taken care of making sure that our veterans would not have access to real attorneys by passing another one of these laws, United States Code Title 38, Section 5904, which forbids a veteran the right under the United States Constitution to retain their own attorney, thereby forcing their claims over to these very same service organizations who will betray them. And there's a hidden quota in giving service-connected injured veterans only a 4% chance of ever winning their full claim at all. The VA, on the other hand, or shall I say sleight of hand, has over 1,200 attorneys, all hell-bent on finding newer, more devious, and more creative ways to deny claims. And a veteran will be allowed to retain his own attorney if he can find an attorney to take the case pro bono, that's without cost, or a final denial has been given to the veteran by the VA's infamous Board of Veterans Appeals, the BVA. Now, that's a process which can take anywhere from 7 to 30 years, and if you want to talk about a stacked deck, well, here we are. Now, should a veteran want to take his case into a real Article III federal court to fight the VA's over-paternalistic concept of justice, he cannot enter a real court because United States Code Title 38, Section 511A, that's the worst of all their laws, gives finality to the decisions of the VA secretary. And since the Economic Emergency Act of 1933 and the Veterans Benefits Improvement Act of 1944, the VA has had everything its own way legally, and they're completely insulated from outside scrutiny of their corrupt regulations of Title 38. In essence, the protection of the United States Constitution has been stolen from the veterans of this nation by the VA's friends in Congress, and they're not likely to do anything about it unless forced by public opinion to change the law. Now, in November of 1988, and this is almost 15 years ago, fearing the oncoming freight train of judicial review of VA decisions, there were a lot of people who were trying to get the courts to review VA decisions. Now, the VA, in fear of this, and in order to protect the VA, VA and Congress, the vested private interests and the hidden legal turf of the service organizations, we call this a hidden legal turf because the veterans are not allowed to maintain their own attorneys. Congress passed somewhat of a judicial review bill in the middle of the night, creating a quasi-court. At that time, it was called the United States Court of Veterans Appeals, or COVA, C-O-V-A. Now, since its inception, it's only resulted in approximately 159 meaningful veteran wins out of over 17,000 claims, almost 18,000 claims, to go before this joke of a court. Now, more than 9,000 of these cases have never even been published, so they can use the publication of this. A veteran might be able to use the publication to win his own case. More than 9,000 of them haven't even been published. The judicial review given to veterans is the narrowest interpretation possible, and Chief Judge Frank Hugh Nebiger, who retired about 2 years ago, made several statements while he was the head judge of this court, that the VA holds itself to be above the law and doesn't even have to obey the decisions of their own court. As always, the VA seems to have everything their own way, and Congress is content as usual not to expose the VA to any meaningful oversight. Now, this court is now called the United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, and it's supposed to be an appellate court. However, You know, the meaning of an appellate court is a court that hears cases that comes from a lower court. However, these charades that are being played are that none of these cases have ever been to any court, only to the VA, which can never be construed as being a court of any kind in any way, shape, or form. In other words, it's a total fraud. And the only way that due process will ever be effected for veterans will have to be in an Article III federal court, federal district court, closest to the veteran's own home, in order to make the VA obey the law and eventually shut them down. Now, you may ask me, if we shut them down, what are veterans going to have? I have a solution to this. Why doesn't Social Security open up a veterans division and let the Social Security agency run this and get rid of a bloated bureaucracy that we have now of 261,000 people who only adjudicate 4% of the claims in favor of veterans? Now, the VA's fraudulent claim system that we are talking about here, the VA's fraudulent claim system features a cast of millions, a budget in the billions, and a barn door wide open, consisting of VA deception, lies, abuse, and thievery that Congress has known about for 7 decades and hasn't lifted one finger to do anything about it. When it comes to the VA, there has never been any congressional oversight, even from people who are supposed to be our so-called advocates in Congress. Now,
Arthur, do you say there are 261,000 Veterans Administration employees?
That's right.
200, that's over a quarter of a million employees.
You bet.
What are they all doing?
That's what I'd like to know. Here, let me give you a perfect example. We have a VA press corps. Now, listen to this. The VA press corps has 30 people working in every VA regional office times 70 regional offices. They have 120 working in the central office in Washington. Their job is to make sure that no news about the VA, which is negative, no negative news gets out to the media. This is their sole job, to make sure no negative news about the VA gets out to the media.
You're talking about censorship.
That's right, and they are paid. These people are paid by the VA between $65,000 to $85,000 a year. We're talking about 2,200 and 20 people being paid between $65,000 to $85,000 a year. And we're saying, how do they get away with it? Okay, they can't list them as a press corps, so they put them under unrelated job titles. And they hide 2,220 people. And that's their sole job. And they keep saying, the government keeps saying, we don't have any money to pay the veterans. Sure, they don't have any money. They're paying 2,220 people between $65,000 and $85,000 a year. They're paying cash bonuses to rating board members and VA managers and lawyers to deny claims. And they're giving millions of dollars a year away to each and every chartered National Veterans Service Organization. That's where the money is going. We don't need more money to be given to the VA by the government. We need a redistribution of the money they're already giving to the VA and see that it gets into the hands of the veterans, not into the hands of the schifozos who are getting it.
Well, now, my understanding, Arthur, was that they're actually taking $15 billion over the next 10 years from the Veterans Administration to send off to treat AIDS in Africa. Is there any truth to that?
I hear that same thing, but you see, what I'm trying to say is it doesn't make any difference how much the VA is getting in the government budget. That money never gets to the veteran anyway. It doesn't get to the veteran, and it doesn't help the veteran. It's divvied up by the VA's cronies, the service organizations. It's divvied up by the rating boards and the executives and the lawyers over at the VA who pay themselves bonuses to deny claims. And the veteran doesn't see this money.
Right.
This is actually what is happening.
You hold that thought there. We'll get back here in just a moment after we get through our little commercial. So, and then, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
Right.
another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps. And it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure Allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405 4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable. But to regular sources, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Scan, and I just want to mention a couple of things we carry here at Radio Liberty. Of course, one of them is Phenopoly, and Phenopoly is a program that will teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. It's a board game played just like Monopoly. We've set out hundreds and hundreds of them, and the people really seem to love them. Now, most of these programs to teach you how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically cost $200, $300, $400, $500. This is $139.95. Five board games, two bonus games. We throw in a couple of books with it. And in 16 hours, you can undo all the harm that's been done by the government schools. We also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. This is a program. It's on 22 CDs. It'll take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation. Everything is there that you need, the textbooks, the lesson plans, the tests, the test answers. The only thing you have to get are the Saxon math textbooks. That's the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Both are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war today. Well, our guest this afternoon is Arthur Berklow, and of course we're talking about the Veterans Administration, how it really works. 261,000 employees, of course, many of them paid not to give benefits, but to withhold benefits. And isn't that a logical thing to do if you're trying to save money? And, of course, you pay the people who save the most money large bonuses. There's something wrong with this picture, because these are people who fought and many of them risked their lives for our country. So pick up the story from there, Arthur.
And the question we ask, Dr. Stan, is do we really need 261,000 people in this bloated bureaucracy to adjudicate only 4% of the claims in favor of the veterans? I don't think so. Nor does anyone else who has half a brain who will look analytically look at this whole situation and finally, after all this time, the media of this country has finally started to wake up, and we're not waiting anymore for Congress to act. Americans veterans, myself included, have decided to stop wasting our time trying to get Congress to do the right thing, which they never will, considering their pro-VA mentality and attitude. You look around you, you'll see anti-VA and anti-recruitment billboards going up all around the country. We're not going to wait any longer, but we are going to bring the problem directly to the American people and to the mothers and fathers of prospective enlistees, and things are now going to take their natural course, and we're saying right now, we're going to let the media and an angry public hold Congress's feet to the fire to change the laws. Veterans have got to be given legal parity equal to that of all other Americans, and the youth of our nation has got to be protected from the lies, false promises, and deception of unethical military recruitment procedures and the predatory practices of the VA and their cohorts. The VA is an outlaw agency, and the corruption is too deeply entrenched to even consider reform. The integrity of our nation demands that the VA must be shut down. And I'm Arthur Bernklau of Veterans for Constitutional Law in New York, and I invite any of your comments to come in to me. You can write in care of Veterans for Constitutional Law, and we're located at 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York, 11777, and the number to call me at would be 631-474-4261. And I'm going to discuss a few of these laws, which I just touched on narrowly, and if we have some time later, I would like to talk about the survivors of Bataan and Corregidor and the dirty deal given to them by our government as well as the Japanese.
Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about that, because what most Americans have never been told because of the control of the media is that many of the men survived. Many of them were actually either put to work in working in Japanese industry, and some of them were actually taken into Manchuria, where they were, of course, used for experiments by Dr. Shiro Ishii, Colonel Shiro Ishii. And, of course, they killed many of them. They would inject them with diseases just to see what would happen, or freeze them to death, or horrible tortures that were done to them. And nothing was ever done to Shiro Ishii. But we can't let the American people know that. And those people who survived to try to put in claims, and the government said it never happened.
Well, I have something here that we've got help in putting together. Give a little credit to Tucker Carlson, and he's a regular columnist for the Reader's Digest, and he also co-hosts CNN's Crossfire program. And it's a case that's up now before the courts, and it was just thrown out of court. It's going to be taken to the Supreme Court, and we're hoping the Supreme Court grants a writ of certiorari. You see, the Supreme Court is not like it used to be years ago. In order to continue and have your case heard in the Supreme Court, they have to grant a writ of certiorari, and I think they grant it to like one out of 100 cases that go up before it. It's a way of them, whether the case is legitimate or not, it's a way of them saying, hey, we don't want to hear your case. It's too political in nature, and it would make the president very unhappy. But this is the Lester Tenney case. That's T-E-N-N-E-Y. And Lester Tenney, he has suffered for his country. In 1942, we're going back in history now. 1942, Lester Tenney was a National Guardsman serving on an American base in the Philippines. And he was captured by the invading Japanese army. Tenney survived one of the most brutal episodes of the war, the Bataan Death March, during which thousands of American and Filipino captives were murdered or allowed to die of exhaustion and disease by the side of the road. Tenney himself was crippled when a Japanese officer hacked at his shoulder with a sword. After nearly dying in a POW camp, Tenney became one of 26,000 Americans loaded into the airless holds of ships and sent to Japan, where, according to court documents, they became slave laborers for Japanese companies. In Tenney's case,
you're going to have to hold that thought. You're going to have to hold the thought. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Okay. book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, A Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alamax. Alamax provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alamax? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alamax at 866-405-4000.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
And certainly don't forget about the Miracle 2 soap products. And, of course, we can't make any medical claims, but a lot of people use them. We really love them. They say it's a miracle. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, our guest this afternoon is Arthur Burncloud, and we're talking about the Veterans Administration. We're talking about the people who, of course, were actually taken as slave laborers to Japan. Now, of course, there's been a lot of talk about the slave laborers over in Germany. Many of them have gotten compensation. But our government is doing everything they can to keep these veterans from being compensated for being forced to work as slaves in the Japanese industry during the Second World War. Pick up the story from there, Arthur.
Oh, we're blocking it in every way we can. Our Justice Department just gave the use of all their staff attorneys to the Japanese lobby to make sure the veterans' case does not get heard in court. They threw it out of court. They gave them the use of all their attorneys. Now, these are the same people who tortured and killed our prisoners over there, and we gave them our attorneys, our Justice Department. I mean, I call them just us. I don't equate them as being any part of America. Now, Lester Tenney, in his case, he shoveled coal in a mine that was owned by Mitsui, and Tenney was forced to work 12 hours a day on starvation rations and was beaten by civilian workers, often with a pickaxe, hammer, or chain. At one point, he was sentenced to death by decapitation for the crime of seeking extra food, only to be spared at the last moment by capricious guards. When the war ended, Tenney finally returned to the United States. There he found his wife had married another man. Tenney managed to rebuild his life, becoming a respected author and a college professor. But decades later, he still wakes up some nights screaming. In 1999, Tenney and fellow POWs filed suit in California against Mitsui, Mitsubishi, and other Japanese companies after the state legislature opened up the door for victims of slave labor to sue multinational corporations. And it wasn't Tenney's first attempt at seeking compensation for his suffering. Shortly after the war, he had petitioned the U.S. government for help and was ignored. Now he was thwarted again. His suit was undermined by the Justice Department. In other words, the country that Lester Tenney served in battle took the side of the Japanese company that tortured him. Consider this for a moment. Frivolous lawsuits by the thousands are filed every single year in this country, yet the federal government rarely attempts to block any of them. Apparently, it's fine for people to shamelessly sue restaurants for serving overly hot coffee. But when elderly combat vets seek compensation for the torture they endured, the Justice Department always swoops in to prevent it. Our government lawyers are quick with an argument. Of course, the 1951 treaty with Japan, the San Francisco Treaty, slams the door on all claims by Allied powers and their nationals against Japan and its nationals, even though this happened in 1942, 9 years before that treaty. Translation, give it up, vets. You don't have a case. Or do they? Many members of Congress say that the treaty applies to claims between governments or cases where governments act as intermediaries, but doesn't prevent private suits by individuals against Japanese companies. This is all in the interpretation of the law. They all point out that our treaty with Germany didn't prevent slave laborers there, mainly Jews, from seeking redress. 2 years ago, the House passed a bill following unanimous resolution by both the House and Senate to give the POWs a green light to go after a settlement with their tormentors. Now, that ticked off the Clinton administration. Allowing the suits to go forward would have adverse foreign policy consequences, said a State Department lawyer. The bill never made it out of Congress. That's our Congress, my God. However, whoever has the stronger legal case, it's very clear who has the moral high ground. Now, how did our government get into the business of signing away the rights of American soldiers who seek justice against torturers? And why, in case after case, brought by survivors of Japanese forced labor, is our government in the thick of the fight to defeat them? After the lawsuit was filed, an army of lobbyists for Japanese corporations descended on Washington within months, and the U.S. government listened. Last summer, the Justice Department sent attorneys to California to work against veterans and on behalf of Mitsui and Mitsubishi, which is also accused of using slave labor during a war. At a hearing in Washington a few months later, the State Department took the same side, Japan's. The veterans, all over 80, and some of them are in their 90s, were crushed and bewildered. I hate our government's guts personally, former POW George Cobbs told the San Francisco Chronicle. When they signed away my rights to sue these companies, they used me. Now, Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah says the government's position is ridiculous, and he's presently considering putting a new resolution before the Bush administration. You know, we hope this is just not lip service. This is not the first time the government has let veterans down, as anyone who has toured one of our country's deteriorating VA hospitals knows. It took until 1996 for the Pentagon to acknowledge that American troops serving in the 1991 Gulf War may have been exposed to nerve gas in combat. In the meantime, many suffered mysterious, debilitating, and in some cases, fatal health problems, in a lot of cases. And it wasn't until 2002, nearly 40 years after the fact, that the Defense Department confessed to conducting Cold War tests of chemical and biological weapons that could have imperiled the health of American servicemen. In many cases, career service veterans of World War II and Korea are still fighting the government to make good on their promise of lifetime medical care. For people who are not aware, this last November, we cut out lifetime medical care for military retirees. And they said, hey, what about the promises they made to get us to reenlist and serve 20 to 30 years in the service? You know what they said, the government? They said, if you want lifetime medical care, apply for Medicare. All this is worth remembering at a time when our country is again under attack from foreign enemies. The hundreds of thousands of soldiers who have been shipped off to fight on a war of terrorism have made a bargain with the rest of America. They agree to risk death, and many of them are dying every day. We agree not to betray them when they come home, and it's time that our government starts to live up to their end of the deal. And we have an article here by Kanui Tokodomi in the August issue of Runza, Now, Ranza is a monthly magazine. It's published by the Asahi Shimbun, one of the largest and most respected newspapers in Japan. And POW lawsuits against Japanese companies are not just a legal issue anymore, but they've become a political issue, and it's true that the United States administration still supports the Japanese government, which has steadfastly insisted that this issue was solved by the San Francisco Peace Treaty of 1951. But with an awakened sense of patriotism in the United States after the World Trade Center destruction, support for these former POWs is growing. And most of the POW forced labor lawsuits filed against Japanese companies since the summer of 1999 were dismissed by the U.S. District Court in Northern California, and the court agreed with the statement of interest filed by the U.S. government in support of defendant companies. The cases are now on appeal, with the plaintiffs arguing that individual claims have not been waived by the peace treaty. And Ms. Tokodomi said that the Japanese government, not only the Japanese government, but our government, has a debt to these veterans to take care of these people. So it's not just the Japanese government, it's our government. Now, for 5 years, we've had a bill floating around Congress to indemnify these survivors of Bataan and Corregidor who are used as slave laborers for $20,000. Little enough. And this bill has been floating around for 5 years, and it hasn't been passed because it gets into the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and it gets boondoggled, as any decent veterans legislation gets boondoggled in the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Now, Professor Mike Mozazuki, of George Washington University in Washington, D.C., now he seems to offer some realistic approaches to this issue. Regarding U.S. POW lawsuits, I feel that this is the responsibility of the United States government because of its Cold War policies. The U.S. government forged and endorsed a peace settlement that left American POWs without the compensation they deserved. Therefore, it is the U.S. government and not the Japanese government that should provide this compensation. And Kanua Tokodomi, she's a Japanese researcher and a journalist living out in California now and one of the most respected names in journalism in Japan. And let's point out something here, too. The Senate, Ms. Dianne Feinstein says, we passed our version of this to remunerate these veterans for $20,000 in indemnification, but the House didn't pass theirs. And I said to her, how many of you senators would have voted for this to pay the veterans if you didn't already know that the House Veterans Affairs Committee would kill this thing in committee and it would not even get out on the floor for a vote? Probably damn few of you people. And she was at a loss for words. She didn't know what to say. Now, you know, the German government has indemnified the prisoners that they've had here. The German government, and this was settled. The United States government settled this thing with Germany, and they've admitted wrong, they've apologized, and they have made good on quite a few of this. And the Japanese government will not even admit that they have done anything wrong.
Well, let's go to Fred, who's calling from Salinas.
Well, let me
Fred.
Say one more
okay,
thing
go ahead.
Before we get another call. Let me say one more thing. At the beginning of World War II, we interned most people of Japanese extraction that we weren't sure of their loyalties. We put them in intern camps, and anyone that we interned, even for one day, has been reimbursed by our government to the tune of $20,000 a person. And there was a picture of Richard Thornburg, our attorney general, in a newspaper, going to Japan on bended knee with a $20,000 check for this Japanese woman. And we have indemnified anyone who even served one day in these intern camps. Yet we've done nothing for our own veterans. And I'll be glad to answer any questions now about that, anyone.
Fred, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment. I went to school. I was going to grade school back in, like, 1955 with a fellow, with a young kid, and his dad was one of the survivors of the Bataan Death March and had gone into Japan and worked there. And when we were going to school, his father went into a really deep depression, and he couldn't get any help from the VA or the government at all. It goofed up the family so bad. Finally, the young boy committed suicide, and then about 2 months later, the father shot himself, and that's about the condition that they left those people in.
Okay, thanks so much, Fred.
Thank you for your comments on that, Fred. They've ruined an awful lot of lives. You know, I want to say something here. We had a guest on a program we did at New York University, Dr. Stan. I was doing the program with Professor McCluskey, Professor Mort McCluskey at the University of New York. And we had a guest on the program, one of the chief attorneys who had retired from the Board of Veterans Appeals, from the VA, Roger Waddell. And he was feeling pangs of conscience for all the rotten things he was forced to do while he worked for the VA. And when he spoke, this was like a historical program. We taped this also. He was a former attorney and adjudicator with the VA's infamous Board of Veterans Appeals. And he tells us the following. Now listen very closely to this. His words, "The two primary rules of thumb for working at the VA's Board of Veterans Appeals is, number one, don't let the facts of the case or even the law get in the way of a good firm denial. And number two, referring to total individual unemployability compensation for disabled veterans. Oh, that veteran is employable. He could always test coffins." Now, our guest Roger Waddell went on and told us about another Board of Veterans Appeals policy called the Mere Gook Rule that I myself previously thought was only a rumor. Now, we find this to be reality, and it applies to brave Filipinos who fought side by side along with Americans as our equals in World War II, now, many of whom were badly wounded and many more died, not only defending their country, but defending Old Glory. And the rule of thumb at the VA is, if they are Filipino, invoke the mere gook rule and pass them by. Deny the claim. I took a tape of this, and I traveled to the Philippine Embassy in Washington to play an audio tape of this program to the embassy staff, including a former Army general who had fought the Japanese and was a survivor of the Bataan Death March, Dr. Tagumpay Nanadiego. And I'm sure I don't have to explain the anger toward the VA that this was received with. I then coordinated all their legal records pertaining to the above and put them in touch with a very high-powered law firm versed in government class actions of this type. And it's a fact that the Filipino civilians were called up and conscripted into the American armed forces by President Roosevelt early in the war, fighting alongside Americans and saving many of their lives. And Filipinos were later denied the right of being considered United States veterans by a despicable and cowardly act of Congress. I call it the ultimate betrayal and a loss of integrity for our entire nation. And I refer to the Rescission Act of 1946, in which they said to these people to double-cross them so they can use the money back home for pork barrel politics on the homeland. You're not veterans. We are discontinuing your veterans benefits unless you move to the United States. Well, some of them moved to the United States, and they gave them half benefits. And we've been fighting since, going back to 1946. We've been fighting since to get them their money, and we've been quite successful in quite a few of the cases. And just want to tell you about this law. It's a law that was steeped in the Jim Crow tradition. So our VA is quite something. Nothing will ever change about the VA or their service organizations that support them. And Congress does owe a big past due debt, not only to our survivors of the Bataan and Corregidor who served as slave laborers. We owe a big past debt to the Filipino veterans of World War II who fought side by side with us.
Well,
and anyone who's heard me talk, I am actually rattling a 58-year-old skeleton in Congress's closet. And we may possibly be a little hazy in our history going back that far, but many of the people listening to this program are not even born yet, and I'm just trying to fill you in on some of the details of what happened back then. And
well, Arthur, let's get your telephone number out once again. If a veteran's out there and wants to talk to you, what's
okay.
that number?
My number here is 631-474-4261, and we are Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited. And we do accept donations, and anything you donate is a full tax deduction for you. And one thing about us, there is nobody here who is receiving salaries, bonuses, or anything. Everyone is a volunteer. I get paid $1 a year, and they claim I'm overpaid. So, you know, there's no need for these atrocities against our veterans to continue. If we can push Congress into doing the right thing, and I think the way to do it is with the media.
Well, we're out of time.
People.
God bless you, Arthur. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking to you again tonight.
Okay.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alamex. Alamex provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alamex? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alamex at 866-405-4000. Hello, this is...
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Now, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there in the audience and you believe there's a problem and you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty team, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. For a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is reach out across America with the news you're not going to get elsewhere, and an understanding of the truly spiritual nature of this battle in which we're engaged, unless you understand that there are really secret societies, and there really are occult organizations, and there many of them do pay homage, either knowingly or unknowingly, to Lucifer himself. Until you understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being carried out on a political and ideological and cultural and economic and educational battlefield, until you understand that, we're going to continue to lose. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will tell others about our radio programs. You'll tell them about our website at radioliberty.com, and you can go there and you can learn all about the Berkey water filters, and you can learn about all of our products, but you can also listen to our programs 5 hours every day and not get much of anything accomplished, but some of the programs are fascinating. They'll even be better when I get my voice back. But we hope that you will not only listen to the programs yourself, but you'll get other people listen to as much of this as they can so they can become educated, so they can get other people educated, so we can begin to take America back. Because, of course, if we do not, of course, have a revival in this country, why, there is no hope for it. And the only thing that's going to bring a revival is a realization that there's a real problem, that we are going to lose America. And not only that, we are probably going to lose our lives and our families and our freedom. And, of course, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to also spend eternity in hell. So what we do, of course, is try to point people to both directions. First of all, to the Lord, and secondly, to be involved in this truly spiritual battle for the survival of this once great Christian nation. And the fact that we were a Christian nation, and the Supreme Court repeatedly held we were a Christian nation, and everybody knew we were a Christian nation until recently, and now why we see the effort to get God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of any public place. You have to understand there is a conspiracy against God. There's always been a conspiracy against God. Look up Jeremiah 11:9 and Ezekiel 22:25. There's a conspiracy against God. And there's nothing new about the conspiracy that's going on today. Other than in past generations and past centuries, people knew there was a conspiracy. And today everybody says, what conspiracy? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be really up to you. So your job is to tell others about what's going on, to get them to listen to our programs. My job is to educate the people who do listen to the programs. Tell them about our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And as I say, you can listen to our programs there, either archive programs or 5 hours every day, and you won't get anything accomplished, but you'll get an awful lot of education. But you may need to get others listening to get them interested. Don't tell them too much. Just try to explain to them that they're intensely shipping their jobs out. They're intensely shipping our industries overseas. What's happening is not by accident. It's part of a long-range plan. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival in America, because if we don't have revival, this country will not last another 20 years. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for our leaders. We ask you to pray for our ministers. We ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when hopefully my voice will be better, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.